Hello, boys and girls. Welcome in to the Boys and Girl Podcast with Cowboys NFL Network reporter Jane Slater and NFL Network producer Bobby Belt. A Cowboys community with the inside scoop on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, coming straight to you from the Lone Star State, here's Jane and Bobby.
Well, after taking a little bit of a hiatus after what was a particularly challenging season, not only for the Cowboys, but I think a lot of us covering this team in the media, we needed a bit of a reset. But we do this because we love football, and it is so awesome to be able to have some access here at Exos Performance Center, especially given the fact that a lot of these guys are going to have scouts and GMs calling performance centers like this, Bobby.
Yep.
To get a handle on these guys because they're not allowed on the college campuses or the access that we've had guys like Daniel Jeremiah tell us about in the past.
Yeah, it's a brave new world for scouts, GMs, coaches, everybody else. This is as limited of access. You talk to people around the league, this is the most limited access they've ever had leading up to a draft. So yeah, places like this and the access that they afford and some of the things that, you know, the insights that they can offer, it's really valuable, not just to teams, obviously, but to us, to be able to come up here and chat with them. And hopefully we can pass on some of that insight with the people that we chat with up here.
And not only that, we're seeing guys like Gerald McCoy, who I know a lot of questions about what this Cowboys defense is going to look like next year. We'll start digging into some of the challenges that were in that locker room as we get closer to the season and we start talking about the sort of guys that Dan Quinn and this new coaching staff are going to be looking for. But I truly believe, Bobby, and again, we'll get into this at a later date, that this team is going to be a lot more responsive to what this coaching staff brings to the locker room. But with that being said, I think there are questions. Who's going to be back? Is this going to be a 4-3, a 3-4 scheme? Well, we've seen Gerald McCoy every time we've been up here putting in the work. Maybe Gerald will jump on and talk to us at some point. But a guy that I think a lot of people in that locker room valued for what he did for guys, even like Neville Gallimore.
Sure.
Though he wasn't a part of this team, he was still there in spirit. And I think that's some sort of veteran leadership that this locker room could certainly use.
Absolutely. I mean, true to his word, he said after his injury and after the release, he spoke about how he still wanted to be a mentor and help people out. And that's exactly what he did. You talk to people up here and you see him up here, but guys that aren't even his teammates necessarily, just rookies that are up here that he's talking to and trying to coach up and teach them things about the game. And so there's a lot of interesting stuff here. We've got a lot of interesting people that we're going to be talking with over the next few episodes. Today we're going to be talking to Stanford corner Paulson Adebo, who's from Mansfield.
Loved him.
Opted out. He's great. We're also going to be talking to TCU safety Trayvon Merrick, who could play corner, to be honest. That dude's incredible. And he'll likely be a first-round pick. He's a guy that I think everybody's going to like a lot. And then we're also going to be talking with Mississippi State running back Kylan Hill, who has a lot of connections, actually, to the Cowboys. You'd be surprised. And he's another guy who announced he was going to the draft last year, decided to come back to school, and then ultimately opted out. But a lot of people to talk to in this episode and a lot of people in the coming episodes. And so if you notice, by the way, we've done this over a couple of them. If you notice wardrobe changes, don't worry about the continuity. That was just separate days. So don't worry about it.
And I think what I love the most about this is, while you and I may not be able to be a fly on the wall at Senior Bowl or Pro Days or some of these virtual combines, we're getting to ask questions that we're genuinely interested in knowing about some of these guys. And two of the individuals in this episode did not shy away for, well, actually all three of them,
yeah,
didn't shy away from wading into what some would consider in the past controversial topics.
Yep.
But this has been a year that has shaped the league as it relates to social justice, as it related to this virus. We've got guys that have opted out. What does their day-to-day look like? How did they stay engaged? Did they miss a beat by not having live game action? Was that better for their bodies? But again, I just genuinely love when they come into the league and they're sort of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yep.
And they're not jaded by people like you and I, Bobby.
There's to this point, and there's a lot of guys here at the facility this year. There's like 50 of them. I have not run into a big ego here.
Not one.
And that's not always been the case. You'll usually run into one or two, but they've got a really good group of guys here this year. Guys with really high football character, the right kind of guys, as Jason Garrett would call them.
Passion and purpose. the two P's have really kind of stood out for me as we've talked to some of these guys. So I hope you've enjoyed, or will enjoy rather, some of the interviews that we're going to bring you over the next couple of weeks. I've certainly enjoyed it. Like I said, this is the part of my job that I absolutely love. And I always go back to my man, Bobby Belt. He does a lot of the framework for this, a lot of the groundwork. He helps to develop some of these relationships and the access that we've had. So I'm indebted to them, but also, like I said, to the Exos Performance Center for allowing us this opportunity to not only come up here and get to know the guys, but just for me and my career, continuing to be a sponge and learn more and more about the game. I think that makes me more valuable to you as a reporter.
Shout out to Brent Calloway, the performance director here, who is awesome, is one of the best people you'll ever meet, and has been really helpful in helping us bring this stuff to you, because there's not a lot of this access and not a lot of these people that we're hearing from with you know, these socially distanced senior bowls and combines and everything else. And so really appreciate Brent giving us some access here to bring these guys to you. Joining us now is Stanford cornerback Paulson Adebo, also a Mansfield High School alum from the DFW area, a DFW kid, and we're glad that he's joining us today out here at Exos in Frisco, where we're talking to a few people. Paulson, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So first question, I know you were one of the, I want to say you were one of the first like 5 or 10 guys I remember opting out of the CFB season this year. What went into the decision? Because I know there was people wondering if you were going to come out last year. You chose to go back to school. So what went into your decision to opt out? And do you have anything, any regrets in retrospect? Do you wish you would have stayed around, or do you feel like you made the right decision?
I feel like I made the right decision. I don't think it's one of those things to look back and try to dwell on what could have been. I think the decision to opt out kind of starts with my decision to come back last year in January. So obviously last year, I had an opportunity to kind of test the water and see if I wanted to declare for the NFL draft. After getting like my scouting results back and stuff, I felt like I had more to put on the table. So that was kind of the main reason for coming back, to get an opportunity to up my draft stock, but also to compete one more time with my teammates and try to play for championship. And then as the season started approaching, the way things were moving, just so much uncertainty from the coaches, from pretty much everywhere, kind of nobody really giving us a clear picture of what a season would look like. And for me, somebody who wanted to come back to kind of put my best foot forward, it just didn't make sense to kind of play a season where at any moment, you know, I can be suspended or have to miss 2-3 games. Not only that, people forget, I mean, the Pac-12 was one of the last conferences to start up. Yeah. And actually, at the time that I opted out, we had already canceled our season. So we were planning on doing a spring season. And for me, it didn't make sense to play a spring season, so I kind of opted out that way. So it was a bunch of different things that kind of played into it. And then obviously they ended up playing at the end, but even that looked a little rough. So I think it's not necessarily a thing to kind of look back and say I should have, could have, would have. For me, I made a decision and went with it. So I've been training since October. I feel like I'm in the best shape that I've been in, physically, mentally. So I'm really excited.
You were one of the players that I was fascinated in talking to, because, you know, we've sort of jokingly phrased you guys the forgotten, because right. So many guys were putting out tape. You were one of the guys that was out here grinding day in and day out. And as you illustrated to me, I can see how it would make more sense to sort of approach this the way a minor league baseball player would, or, you know, preparing as if you're going to get the call up. What does your day look like? Starting in October, what does your weeks look like, and how have you stayed focused and locked in as you watch teammates, guys that you knew growing up, actually playing on Saturdays?
Right, it was definitely really weird watching football and not being out there. It's probably the first time not playing a football season since like 7th grade or something. So definitely weird, but I think coming here to Exos in Dallas, working with Brent, the whole staff, they kind of just really did a good job of like helping me stay prepared and helping me stay focused. So basically since October, maybe like 21st or something, when I first got here, pretty much Monday through Friday, we'd lift 3 times a week, run 2 times a week. And then I'd come here in the, now the schedule has kind of changed because we added some more players, but earlier I'd come in at 1, or I'd come in at 11, do physical therapy, go back, maybe take a nap, come back at 1, run, then lift, go back, do whatever I wanted to do. Usually I end up watching film or watching sometimes my team, what they're doing, but also just watching other players in general and just catching up on college football, watching league film, stuff like that. Recently, as we've added more players, the day has kind of changed, but it's the same kind of philosophy, Monday through Friday, actually Monday through Saturday. So 8 a.m., I do speed work, and then go back home, come back at around 11:30, do position work, go back home, come back at like 1, lift. So it's kind of a filled day, but breaks in between, so allows me to eat and recover in between. They feed us breakfast, lunch, and dinner, so it's really a good setup.
It feels sort of like he's already in OTA's training camp mode, which I would imagine is hard for college guys to make that transition. Have you had access to even players in the area, you know, free agents and guys sort of training that you've been able, do you think, benefit from the experience of being around guys like this?
Right, definitely kind of. I think in college we're worrying about a couple different things and worrying about classes. I got an exam, especially going to Stanford. It was a little tough to juggle both things. So now just totally being locked in on football is definitely kind of a weight off your shoulders and really allows you to really focus in on what you need to. So I definitely appreciate that aspect of it.
I know when you talk about getting in that position work, I know you've been working with Clay Mack, who you know we've had on the show. He's a friend of ours and has a great reputation of helping guys kind of perfect their craft a little bit. Do you think there's, I guess, an argument to be made that, you know, you hear from some people that, well, they missed the college football season, they didn't put film out like we were talking about. Would you say there's potentially a bigger benefit for you personally that you're not, you know, focusing on weekly game prep and other things like that, and instead just focusing on polishing up your skills and working with Clay every day to get those right?
Right. I think there's a give and take. Obviously, I missed getting game experience this year, so I'm not going to count that off as being trivial. That's obviously important. But on the back end, I have been able to get a lot more technique work, a lot more mobility work, a lot more just strengthening. So physically, I feel like I'm in the best position that I've been in. I've gained like 8 pounds. So physically, I feel like there's definitely something to be said there. Having been here for 2-3 months working with Clay and kind of fine-tuning the technique and stuff like that that you normally wouldn't be able to in the season. You're probably banged up, dealing with injuries. You can't really get in the extra work that you want to kind of perfect your craft. You're kind of just holding on as the season goes on. So I think in that aspect, it definitely does help to have been here working with Clay and working with Brent.
You know, to his point, because it was such a stop-start season and it was so hard for players to get the games in and probably to be around a facility and,
exactly,
you know, the fact that you're sort of removed from consistent workouts, I would imagine getting tested here, wearing the mask, working out, it was a little bit easier just to stay focused and keep your body right. Because even if you had been able to put out tape, how much quality tape are you putting out?
Exactly. I mean, we had an abbreviated season. At a certain point, our guys were traveling on the road because they couldn't practice in their county, Santa Clara County. So just a lot of different obstacles. You know, for them, I think it was great that they found a way to do it with all the adversity. They found a way to have a season. So I was really happy to see that for them. But at the same time, I don't know that would have been the best situation for me. But again, I don't want to kind of dwell and try to weigh them. I just kind of made a decision and went with it.
Now, I remember a couple of years ago, there was a guy coming out of Notre Dame named Jerry Tillery. And Jerry was considered like first round type of talent. And there was this chatter you kept hearing about, and when you talk to people in NFL circles, they were like, he's got a lot of varied interests. And I was kind of like, okay. And it's like, what's the problem? And it's like, you know, well, you wonder how much do they love football, because they're interested in a lot of other things. Are they completely focused on football? So I mean, anybody who follows you on social media, which you can follow him on Twitter at PaulsonA17, and on Instagram, I'm going to try to remember, it was at PAU11SON
underscore.
Underscore.
You were close.
Damn it.
Yeah,
okay. Anybody who follows you sees you've got a lot of varied interests, including football. Do you think that's anything that you will have to talk about with teams or answer? Is that like, look, I'm going to need to sell you guys, I guess, on my love of football? Or do you think that's unquestioned by teams at this point?
I think it should be unquestioned. But if that's something that if they have questions or whatever, like, I'm more than happy to answer them. I don't think that there's anything.
The guy's been here every day, 5 days a week, six days a week.
He's crushing it.
You are going to get that question, though.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, especially in 2020, I mean, there's just so much going on, right? And I'm working out and I'm seeing a bunch of different things going on, whether it's social justice, whether it's COVID-19, where it's a lot of different things that people really don't have the answers to. And for me, it just kind of felt disingenuous to kind of just sit back and not say anything. And I think that for athletes, you know, there's a level of humility that we need to approach things with that says, you know, I don't have the answers. It's not like I'm sitting up here telling you that, like, you know, I'm the end-all, be-all, and I'm the expert on this. Like, not at all. Like, I think something's going on. I don't really know. But I think it's super interesting, and I feel like, especially in today's climate, it's important to kind of have that kind of conversation. But don't get it twisted. Like, I love ball. Like, that's what I want to do.
Well, and I know that is a popular question from NFL scouts, and it sounds like a basic one, but they like it because it fleshes things out a little bit, which is, and I'll ask it to you here, is why do you love football? Why do you love the game?
Right. I mean, for me personally, that's what I've been doing my whole life. Right. I remember I grew up in like an apartment complex. So what that kind of did for me was like being able to interact with a lot of different kids as opposed to like living in a neighborhood where it's like you have two neighbors and that's who you hang out with. So I saw a lot of different people come in, and the common thing for us was football. You know, so people from all different backgrounds. One of my best friends, you know, I still know him from kindergarten. We still live in the same apartment complex, and we would just play football every day. So just having that, you know, to kind of draw me into things from an early age, I've just kept that all the way. And obviously my brothers played football and basketball, and I pretty much played everything growing up. So football was kind of mostly the main sport for me growing up, but I just love playing sports and being competitive, to be honest.
I love that you have a voice, because I think what we saw from the NFL, something that I hadn't seen covering this league for, you know, the last 6 years with just the NFL Network, doing it for years before that, was the NFL is allowing you the latitude to do that. So when you look at guys like Malcolm Jenkins and Richard Sherman, is that one of your pushbacks, that you can love football and have varied interests? And
for sure. I don't think I try to like emulate what people are doing, to be honest. I don't think that I'm very much like, I don't necessarily like the spotlight on me, to be honest. But if there's something that I'm, you know, super passionate about, or I think is very important, I'll say something about it. But it's not like I'm setting out to be a personality or something like that. I don't view it that way.
What are some of your other interests?
My other interests, I love watching just football highlights when I'm bored. Netflix, play the guitar a little bit. Kind of wanted to. I think I saw a video of like Christian McCaffrey playing the harmonica when I was coming out of high school. I was like, man, that dude's cool. I need to learn something. So I started picking up the guitar a little bit. So I do that a little bit. I'd say I'm like a campfire guitarist level. I can play a couple things. But then just hanging out with friends. Yeah, I think I really love watching like interviews of like people I think are inspirational. So, you know, whether it's like Will Smith or anybody who's done anything super big, I feel like it's always good to kind of see where their mind's at and kind of get the competitive edge from watching how they like take care of themselves.
Why Stanford? Why a kid from Mansfield thinking Stanford? You know, there's a lot of Big 12 schools for that, sure. I'm sure would have loved to have had you.
There's a lot of North Texas, and I'm excited to hear what you're going to say, because I know for a fact there's a lot of North Texas kids that this state has lost out on to Stanford in the last few years.
Yeah, we got a couple guys from Dallas. We always
Caden Smith.
Yeah, we always kind of have that, like, whenever we get a Texas guy, we're always, like, kind of proud of it. But for me, Stanford was just a different place. Coming out of high school, obviously, I could have went anywhere. I had offers from Georgia, you know, Notre Dame. I was committed to Notre Dame for a really long time, actually. And I really liked it up there, and I really wanted to kind of go up there. But when Stanford came, that was right around the time Christian McCaffrey was there, and they had all the hype. And just seeing that, you know, you can go to a place like that and compete at the highest level, that was super important for me. But then going there, meeting the guys in the locker room, just a good group of guys, to be honest, and then knowing that I would still have the opportunity to compete for Pac-12 championships. So for me, it was like kind of a little bit of a no-brainer.
So you're from DFW. You're training out here in Frisco near the home of the Dallas Cowboys. Have you thought any about, hey, what if I end up with Star on my helmet?
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be really cool. I mean, I didn't grow up like having a team or anything. I kind of just liked teams that were exciting. So back in the day, I liked the Saints.
I was going to say, if it's exciting, and given your age, there wasn't a lot of Cowboy fandom, I wouldn't guess.
Well, I think fantasy football's had a lot to do with this. I've argued that fantasy football has sort of taken away that. The kids that grew up, or you
follow players instead of teams,
right.
The city you lived in would get blacked out of certain, you know, teams that you were a fan of. Now you have access to, I mean, NFL Game Pass. There's your plug. obviously, fantasy football. So I think you follow players, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think just any team that was exciting for me, I kind of followed growing up. So I never had like a specific team, but it would be cool to play at home for sure.
What type of locker room culture would make sense for you?
Honestly, I think that I can fit into any locker room. I never, even here, you know, obviously I'm around, you know, there's different kind of guys, people from, you know, from SEC, from the Big 12. I think one of my strong suits is like I've had the opportunity to interact with a lot of different people. And that's one thing that Stanford did do for me, I think, was having, you know, one of my best friends is from New Hampshire, one of my other friends is from Arizona, like Florida, just guys from everywhere. So I don't think that I have a problem interacting with anybody, to be honest.
Okay, so because I know that you're such an intriguing guy away from the football field, there's a few get-to-know-you questions that I got for you. You ready?
Do it. Yeah.
All right, cool. So I know you played basketball growing up, including at high school.
Pretty good too,
yeah. So
I love this guy.
Look at that. Yeah, no,
I love his confidence.
He's got the swagger. So rank Kobe, LeBron, MJ.
Yeah. You're asking him this question
I
on
asked
Kobe
this to,
Day.
I asked this to him.
That's wrong, man.
Trying to give me a
I asked this to everybody.
This is Kobe Day,
LeBron,
though.
MJ.
You can't ask this question today.
I'm not going to lie. They're all great. They're all in their own kind of little league.
They're easily the top three all time, I think.
But personally, I didn't really watch MJ, so I can only speak from what other people say. He was amazing and all that thing. So I don't think I'm really qualified to answer the question.
Okay, Kobe, LeBron.
Kobe, LeBron. I always liked LeBron over Kobe, to be honest. I feel like just the amount of things that he can do on the court, but obviously Kobe, just killer mentality. It's a different vibe, but I like LeBron.
So you say you're a Netflix guy. So what's your biggest streaming recommendation to anybody?
Oh, Netflix. I haven't been watching anything really recently. I like All American, but they're not on Netflix.
Are you like a documentary guy, or are you like movie? What do you go for usually? Miniseries.
I've been a rom-com guy.
Oh,
rom-com!
Wow,
I love
that.
When we get one of these guys. What was your favorite?
I like Hitch.
All right, it's a good one.
Hitch. He speaks French. He plays basketball. Look at him. He's
there's some commonalities there.
He's a Renaissance man. One of my favorite questions that I stole from a friend of mine, RJ Ochoa, is let's pretend next year you're playing Madden 22. And whoever you're playing against has taken the team that you're on, whoever ends up drafting you. So if when you're playing that game, you accidentally throw an interception to yourself, are you going to be the competitor and tackle yourself, or are you going to give Digital U a little shine and let him score?
No, I'm definitely tackling myself.
Oh, look at that. I'm finding more and more guys. I'd say it's probably about 70-30 say they're going to let their guy score.
Nah, I'm hit-sticking myself.
You're going to hit-stick yourself?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we don't do that.
What would, if it wasn't football, what would your profession be? What's your major? I know your major is something that I don't think I've ever seen a football player have before. Yeah.
Product design.
So what would you be doing if it wasn't football?
Honestly, I don't know.
It's like product design is like Nike?
It kind of depends. It's a little bit of mechanical engineering, also working with on the marketing side, dealing with user consumers, that type of deal, identifying target market audience.
It's kind of smart if you think about it in sports.
Yes, I think
you
to be honest,
bases.
Yeah, I think going to Stanford, but also playing sports, I think that the network that I have now, especially becoming a professional athlete, it'll give me a lot of leeway to kind of interact and contact a lot of different people. So honestly, I don't really know what I want to do, but I know that. Given this platform, I really want to help people. I don't know exactly how, but growing up, I didn't have too much. So I feel like, you know, it's only right for me now having the success. I mean, there's nothing really, I mean, like I've had success, you know, and that's not really what's going to do it, right, as far as making you feel a certain way. So I feel like finding a way to help people out, whether it's people that look like me, whether it's kids that grow up impoverished or that don't really have much, I think I will end up doing something in that realm.
Greatest strength, greatest weakness?
As a player? Or
as a person.
As a person. My greatest strength. I think my greatest strength is my greatest weakness. I'm a little stubborn.
Yeah. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, I'm a little stubborn. But I think it, you know, it's kind of helped me because I go a little harder than I should or something like that. But, you know, sometimes I probably need to pull back. Probably a little stubborn. Yeah,
I felt that answer.
How do you want people to remember you outside of football?
Yeah. Again, I think just somebody who, you know, one, stood for something. Two, was willing to help a lot of people. And that's kind of the big thing for me, especially as I'm getting older. That's seeming like that's the the path to go on, to be honest. And again, it's like everybody moves at their own pace, but after having success on a couple different levels, you start to realize what really matters. So I think just having a positive impact on people.
When did you know you were special at this particular sport?
Let me see. I think I had a couple moments. I think in high school, like my sophomore year, played against South Lake Carroll, Cowboy Stadium. First game playing cornerback, went off, had a pick, had a touchdown. I was like,
Feel good in that building, huh?
Yeah, well, I always felt like I was super good. Like my brothers would tell you, like I always grew up talking trash to them. Like, I'm going to be a freshman on varsity. I'm going to be number one corner in the nation. So I always had that kind of mentality of just overachieving. But obviously, as it starts getting closer and you kind of start knocking down those milestones, you get your first offer, you get the third offer, the 10th offer, and then you kind of start to see it, you know, all your dreams kind of realize themselves. I definitely had a sense of like, yeah, I can really do some damage.
You're stubborn and you know you're good. Are you coachable?
Of course, yeah. I think, you know, I'm stubborn with myself, but when it comes to, you know, coaching, I'm definitely willing to accept coaching, especially, you know, I never had any problems with my DB coach, my head coach, or anything like that. So I think there's a balance between being stubborn and kind of wanting to do things your own way, and also understanding that it's a team sport and, you know, you have to buy in, you know, completely buy in and do what's best for the team as well.
Favorite coach and why?
Coach King is my favorite coach.
Why?
Yeah, because he doesn't baby you. Like, he'll give it to you how it is. You know, I had a couple games where I just wasn't performing at the level that I'm supposed to, and, you know, he's all in my grill, like, giving it to me. And a lot of coaches, especially now with where we are, today's environment is a little softer. So to have that kind of, like, gritty, hard-nosed kind of approach, that was really appreciated by me.
Paulson Adebo is a cornerback from Stanford, a local kid, and somebody who realistically, with as thin as the Cowboys are, cornerback could end up with a star on his helmet. And Paulson, we appreciate you, man.
I think you're going to do very well.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Joining us now is TCU defensive back Trayvon Merrig. He is the recipient of the 2020 Jim Thorpe Award, named to 7 All-American teams, just an all-around stud. And he is out here training at Exos in Frisco, and we are glad to be joined with him today. Trayvon, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm curious. We were here talking about the COVID scare and everything else and how different everything's been before we got started here. A lot of guys chose to opt out. A few of them you're training with here. Why did you decide to play this season?
Really, I just did it for my family and my teammates. You know, coming into the season, we weren't, you know, expecting to play a game or having a season or anything like that. So we just continued to push forward. And, you know, I did it for my mom, my teammates. And we were fortunate to go out there and have a season. So I think we put on a show.
What did this season teach you about adversity, pliability, adaptability? Yeah.
Definitely just, you know, pushing through whatever, you know, not knowing a lot of things this year, what was going on. It just kept us on our toes and kept us hungry for more, wanting to play games and, you know, try to go to a playoff game. But, you know, just taught us to push through adversity and, you know, lean on one another.
You know, I think it's well known at this point, I'm sure you've heard it, the cliches about the Big 12, about nobody plays defense in the Big 12. It's all offense. It's the Kingsbury and the Lincoln Riley style of offenses over there. Yeah. One of the teams that does play defense a little bit is TCU.
Yes,
last couple of years, Jeff Gladney, Ross Blacklock, yourself, Ardarius Washington, a lot of really good players on that defense. Do you think you're better prepared for what the NFL is going to have to offer going up against these Lincoln Riley type teams and these Texas Tech offenses? Do you think you're prepared for where the NFL is going because you play in the Big 12?
Definitely. I think, you know, just TCU in general, their coaching staff, Coach P, Coach Gonzalez, they did a good job of just, you know, preparing us for whatever it may be. I think the way they coach is unmatched. I've said that before. And just the way they handle things on the field, they get you ready for anything, whether it be certain teams, certain formations, it could be whatever, but they always make sure you're ready, and I feel like they've got me ready, and I can understand a lot of things that maybe if I didn't go to TCU, I wouldn't be able to.
You know, one of the challenges that we saw with so many teams this year, as we were speaking to it earlier, the adaptability and the pliability. You guys are so used to being in a group setting, so used to being in the locker room and working out together. you were able to play this season and obviously saw the shutdowns and the COVID testing and doing these interviews virtually. We're probably going to see a little bit more of that heading into this season. What was the greatest thing you learned about yourself and the way you approach your game, this profession, through all of that?
I think, you know, one thing I prided myself on was just being a leader through this time, you know, trying to get my guys wherever they needed to be, wherever, you know, seemed fit. I just tried to be a vocal leader and let them know, like, we're going to get through this, you know, we're going to make it, and we're going to play games and have fun no matter the outcome.
And you were a team captain for every single game.
Yeah.
What did that mean to you? What goes into being the team captain?
It was an honor. You know, Coach P just goes in and picks four guys that he thinks are, you know, like you said, great leaders on and off the field. So I was really blessed and fortunate to be picked as one. You know, it was me, Wallow, Tay Barber, and Max Duggan. So all of those guys, you know, are great leaders, great teammates.
Okay, but I do have to ask you, how hard was it to, I think it was a little bit easier for the NFL athlete, right? Some of them have their families, you're getting paid to approach this. Mm-hmm. You're in college.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get to do this thing again.
Yeah.
How hard was it to be responsible on campus and still recognize that this is the last year? I mean, look, I went to college. I went to the University of Texas. It was the best 4 years of my life. But how were you able to balance that while also being responsible and to your point, making sure you guys had a season?
I would say just like leaning on people, leaning on my mom, my family, my teammates, my coaches, just getting advice from them or whatever it may be. You know, just leaning on other people for advice and just kind of not doing it alone by myself.
And so it was hard. It wasn't that hard for you to.
Stay
out of the fray.
It was definitely a little hard at the beginning, but as you know, time went on, we started picking up on things and just learning, you know, the new protocols and swings of things. So I think as time went on, we learned, you know, like I said, to push forward and persevere.
We mentioned you're here in Frisco, so you know you're 2 miles away from the Dallas Cowboys training facility. You're a Texas kid. You played here at TCU too. Have you thought about what it might be like to wear the star?
Hey, that'd be a blessing. That'd be so cool. I grew up watching Dallas Cowboys all my life. So, you know, to be seeing things said about Dallas Cowboys is definitely exciting. So we'll see where that goes, but that would be cool to wear a star.
Now, we got you just for a couple more minutes here because we're keeping you from training. But we'll do a couple of get-to-know-you questions because cool. I know people always like those. So if you weren't pursuing football, what would you be going after for a career?
I'd probably try to be like an analyst, sports reporter kind of thing like that. That's kind of something I want to do after I play football or maybe coach or something like that.
I see we're getting you experience here. That's
exactly
what we're trying to do.
Yeah, they're getting me ready, so preparing me.
What's on like your pregame hype list if you're really trying to get in the zone?
Probably some young boy. I know that's probably a little, you know, cliche.
Oh, we got,
listens to young
we,
boy,
we got basic Trey Merrick here.
Hey, but I could throw on a little R&B.
All right.
A little R&B too. But.
Still one of my favorite answers to this was Randall Cobb, Kiss from a Rose, Seal.
Oh,
was
wow.
One of his pregame.
That's such a bizarre. I remember it was
like a Batman, you
I
know?
Think, I think it was Devin Asiasi from UCLA last year. I think his answer was, he's like, he doesn't want to listen to anything too aggressive
because oh, really?
he didn't want to get too hyped
pumped up
and out of control. He wanted to kind of be calm and everything.
Mellow.
Yeah, yeah. So let's imagine you're playing Madden 22 here in a couple months, which you'll be on the roster. You'll be on there somewhere. So you're on there. Let's say whoever you're playing against takes your team before you can pick them. So you're on offense and you throw and digital Trayvon Merrick intercepts the pass. So are you going to let him score or are you going to be ultra competitive and tackle yourself?
Man, I might let him score.
Just get a little shine on.
Just to boost the stats up a little bit on the game, you know, make it look good.
I remember Kalavon Chason said if he was playing against himself, that he said he'd get 12 sacks that game. He's like, I wouldn't even block the guy. No tight end over there. Yeah. He's like, I want to let myself shine.
Oh, yeah, let him rank up the stats for sure.
He's trying to have fun with you, but, of course, I'm a hard-nosed reporter. So there's going to be all sorts of questions that are going to come up for you at Combine, and I imagine – they're going to be a little tougher because they're going to be virtual. So
definitely.
It's not like you're in the same room with some of these guys. One of the situations that came up with TCU, obviously, was, you know, during Black Lives Matters, the allegations against Coach P and what was said in the locker room. Mm-hmm. Being a team leader, without getting into the weeds on it, mm-hmm. how was that to navigate and keep that group together with heightened emotions, because you're going to have that during a football season. Yep. A coach is going to fall out of favor with the players. Something's, I mean, we've seen it happen in the league. Mm-hmm. What did you learn from that situation to navigate that, where you're not isolating teammates, you're trying to understand where they're coming from, but also trying to keep that locker room together?
Yep. I would say it was definitely hard at first, you know, like you said, emotions were raised, everything like that. But, you know, we kind of came together as a team, came together as a senior leadership council, met many times and just talked about the issue. We just kind of came out with, we know where Coach P's hard at. We know what kind of guy he is. You know, was he wrong? Yes. Not taking that away. But I know the kind of person he is. I know, you know, what he's about. I know how much he's invested in all of us. So for that to happen and for his reputation to go down the drain, I just didn't think it was, you know, the right time. So we met as a team, you know, we handled it and you know, just left it in the past. Some we, you know, we're going to remember, we're not going to forget, but we moved on as a team and continue to play this season.
How hard is that as a young man, though, that's getting ready to go off to the draft? I think a lot of guys worry about, well, if you say the wrong thing or you rattle this coach, how's that going to affect me in the draft? And you're talking to a guy who's been in the league forever and or has contacts with the league forever and has been a head coach. How hard was that to go to a man and say, listen, as a locker room, we feel like you're wrong, but this is our moment to give you a teachable moment, very similar to things that you've done for us as a coach?
Oh, yeah, definitely tough. But like I said, I think it just comes down to being an honest and, you know, good person, genuine person. You know, because we're all learning, and it's not just, you know, one side or the other. You know, everybody's learning every day. So that's kind of the approach we took towards him, was like, you know, we understand you messed up, but, you know, we're all learning. We're going to get you, you know, back on your feet and try to play a good season.
One more for you, because you do seem like you have a real level head on you. And like I said, you're going to get far harder questions than that one. But I wanted to get you warmed up, you know, being the reporter that I am. Bobby wants to ask you some of these fun questions, and I love them. But what do you bring to a locker room? You're not going to be able to get into a room, shake a lot of these guys' hands. And I think a lot can be said about, you've got this energy and this light about you that I think would serve you well if you had scouts and GMs in the room. Since you can't do that, what are you going to convey to them virtually about what they're getting from you in their locker room?
Probably just, you know, like you said, just a level-minded kind of player, just not real too big into the hype, too big into social media, just wanting to get down and work and play for someone bigger than himself, play for my mom, my family, my teammates, you know, and just being an honest, genuine person. That's kind of what I pride myself on, is just being a good person to whoever it may be, so.
Well, I think you're likely to hear the name Trayvon Merrig on Thursday night of the draft, because he is for sure in that first-round conversation. And you can follow him on social media, both Twitter and Instagram are @TheReal_Trey7. Trayvon, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
Joining us now out here at Exos in Frisco is Mississippi State running back Kylan Hill. You can follow him on Twitter @H_Kylan, and Kylan is K-Y-L-I-N. Kylan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, just blessed to be here right now.
Yes, sir. Now, I know you just came out of Senior Bowl. It was a big week for you, a good week for you. A lot of people, there's that one clip going around social media that was going all viral. You just locking up everybody in pass pro, looking good. Yeah. How was that experience just in general, the Senior Bowl? And talk about how you think it benefited you, especially in a time where this, you know, we're not going to have the combine the normal way that we would. How do you think it was beneficial to you?
Yeah, like you said, with the combine, I feel like we got a lot of benefit through it, you know, especially one-on-one with the coaches, learning the experience, you know, preparing us for the next step that most guys won't have the opportunity to experience also. So I'm extremely blessed to be in that situation to show off my skills in front of a lot of coaches.
You debated opting out last year, decided to finish up at Mississippi State, Mike Leach taking over as the head coach, and then opted out at 3 games. Why?
Really, basically a lot during the flag situation, with my family being too harassed over the situation. So it was really a family decision also.
For fans that aren't familiar with the flag situation, walk them through that.
Basically, Mississippi known for having a Confederate flag over our heads for generation, even beyond my generation. So me and a couple guys and coaches and stuff, we got together as a family and just came together and just finally thought it was time for it to come down.
How hard was that on your family? And was that kind of your first foray into seeing how how tough it can be out there when you put yourself in that public eye.
Yeah, it was real tough. You know, I had a lot of backlash, you know. Backlash that comes to me also comes to my family, me being an athlete. So I had a lot of to take up on, had to mature very early, but I have no regrets at all.
Are you proud of the outcome?
Yeah, of course. You know, I feel like I did a good deed. So Mississippi, very proud of me.
Do you think that's something that, you know, even though, as you mentioned, it was tough on your family and it was tough on you and it caused some issues, is it still something that you look back on really proudly and fondly and say, you know, I made a real difference? And do you think it's something that NFL teams can look at and go, okay, there's a guy who shows leadership traits. There's a guy who's comfortable in his own skin and isn't afraid to do what he believes is right.
Yeah, you know, what I did, I feel like a lot of younger players under me can look up to what I did. You know, don't be afraid of the outcome. So I wasn't scared at all. You know, sometimes people always ask me, did I regret it? Not at all. I feel like God made no mistake. So I just go by day and stay blessed.
Do you have any regrets about, not that situation specifically, but do you have any regrets about going back to school? Do you just wish you would have potentially just stayed in the draft last year, or had, you know, decided to opt out of this year once you've gone back and seen the COVID situation? Do you wish you had done anything differently with that process?
No, not at all. I came back, you know, to show scouts that I can also catch the ball, not just a pound and ground running back. So even though I played 3 games, I feel like in them games I did play, I had 23 catches for close to 300 yards. So I did what I could.
I love the confidence.
Oh, yeah.
Go look at the stats.
That opener, it was something like 94 catches for, you know, 730. I mean, it was obscene. So, some Mississippi State records there. Now, it's interesting you talk there about showing your different skill set. We talked about how you had looked really good in pass protection at the Senior Bowl and how everybody knew you were a prolific runner at Mississippi State. And then you went back and showed what you could do in the receiving game. There's this chatter a little bit with the game is so pass heavy now that running backs are kind of becoming obsolete, yeah. People seem to think. What would you say in reply to that thought, that the running back position is becoming obsolete, and how valuable do you think your skill set is, being that you are so multifaceted, when teams are looking at, they want a different type of back these days?
I feel like I'm just filling in all the blanks that people said what I can't do. So, like they said, it's all me. I was just a ground and pound runner. Can't catch. I did that. People said I come pass block. So, Senior Bowl, I focus on pass blocking to prove that. You know, I just trying to fill in all the blanks that all my data said I can't do. And so far, looking very positive.
There's a fearlessness about you that stands out to me. Where did that come from?
That's just born in me. That's how my daddy raised me. Like, my dad, when I was 8 years old, my dad would wake me up 5 o'clock in the morning. We go jog. That just in me. He told me, always attack the game with fierce. Be fierce 24/7.
I love it. You said one of the guys you stay in touch with is a guy we know pretty well here in Dallas, Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
What's that relationship like? And not just football, what has he meant to you as having a guy that's played at Mississippi State, who's been in the league, and for that matter, has found himself in the news a lot, and how he handles it has always been so graceful. What has he taught you?
With Dak, you know, when you come to Mississippi State, it's Dak Prescott. Like, I don't take nothing away from a guy, incredible player. Just beside the player, he's an incredible person. You know, what he did, especially just, he plays the game for his mom. Rest in peace to his mom. Tremendous guy, charitable guy. He always come back, and I try my best to work his events. He's just a guy that young kids should look up to just outside of football, just as a person.
How much would you like to potentially share the backfield with him? I mean, you're here in Frisco. You're near Cowboys headquarters. How cool would it be to end up with the Cowboys?
It would be a blessing. You know, I feel like Mississippi State fans would go crazy.
They'd love it. They're rabid over there. Now, did you get a chance to talk to the Cowboys at Senior Bowl? And if so, how did that go?
It went very well. We had tremendous talk. You know, it's some things I can't say.
Oh, sure, of course. Yeah.
But they just told me I had a great, tremendous talent, and they look forward to seeing me in the Senior Bowl.
I also love that everyone thinks that just because the Cowboys talked to Kylan, who's a running back, that means there's no room for Ezekiel Elliott or Tony Pollard.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm good friends with Zeke.
Exactly.
Also.
That's where I wanted to go. Sometimes I feel like there is a misperception of Zeke because he's not consistently as personable as Dak is sometimes. But if you get Zeke away from the media,
good guy.
He's actually a great guy.
Yeah.
So what's been your takeaway? Because, you know, even with like Tony Pollard and some of those guys, you know, his former coach, Gary Brown, would tell me, you know, he'd be there at the, you know, dinners at Gary's house and how much he brought the guys up, and even when he wasn't playing, encouraging guys to go out there and be their best. What have you taken away from a guy like Ezekiel, especially because he's such good friends with Dak? I would imagine that by extension, you get some of that friendship.
Yeah, man, Zeke, we've been trading numbers, you know, communicate, you know, it basically just guys like him, Alvin Kamara, they just basically told me just stay grinding. The process go by fast, you know, in the blink of an eye, going to be draft day. You know, like they just kept it real with me, real blunt. You know, they told me to work my butt off and just take care of everything. Everything going to happen for itself.
I love that you're in touch with Alvin Kamara because, you know, Sean Payton, New Orleans Saints, loves to say that he stood on the table and banged his fist for Alvin. Alvin obviously was a guy that was a little bit overlooked. You talk about filling in the blanks and not wanting to be pigeonholed in one particular area, and he has certainly shown you that with his game. What has Alvin taught you about being more of a multidimensional running back, especially in today's game and the way that that position's been undervalued?
Yeah, I feel like Alvin changed the game for running backs. It's like being straight up. You know, Alvin, you don't know, he can be a guy, he can go between the holes and hit two, or he can line up wide and just hit you for 80 yards. He just basically changed the game for running backs. What it is today, put running backs back on the market. You know, tremendous guy, tremendous talent.
What did you think of his 6-touchdown game on Christmas?
Oh, he was going federal. I was counting every time he counted. You know, when he got in the end zone, he was counting them out, counting right with him.
You're sitting there really cheering on that they give you know, him that
same,
number six.
Yeah, we got the same agent and everything. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like he was doing it for the running backs.
Yeah, he was going in for the running backs.
He was doing it for the culture. That's what he was all about. Now, you mentioned filling in all the blanks. What is it you think is the most outstanding question you think teams are going to want to know about you? Since you are trying to answer as many questions as you can, what do you think is remaining for you to sell teams on?
Basically, I don't know, so I just...
Just wait for the next challenge?
Whatever drill they want me to do, I'm just trying to master it.
Now, let's do some get-to-know-you stuff.
I do want to ask him one other thing.
Go ahead.
I love this notion that your dad was getting you up at such a young age to run at 5 in the morning, because, like I said, I'm sitting here, and we talked to a lot of guys, and I've talked to a lot of guys over the years, but there is this fearlessness about you, and there is also this... You seem very intentional. Are you into certain books? Are there certain guys that you, or documentaries that you're into? Like, where else do you get some of your inspiration?
Basically, just being from Mississippi, you know, underrated all my life, so it's a fuel to the fire.
Love it.
Now, if you weren't, as we asked some of these get-to-know-you questions, if you weren't pursuing football, what would you be going after? You're a psychology major, right?
Yeah, I'd be what y'all doing.
There you go. All right.
I want to ask you about that, too, because I do think that if you're into psychology, it helps you a lot as a reporter. I highly recommend the book that I've been reading is The Laws of Human Nature by Robert Greene.
Gotcha.
It's Bible thick, but it really helps you understand people and their motivations. And so I think if you obviously pursue psychology, you're interested in that stuff. We've watched Cameron Jordan and Mark Ingram do their podcast during the season. Is that something you'd be interested in doing? Because we've seen so many players that are able to sort of start writing their media career early. Could you see yourself doing that? And who would be your ideal co-host?
I'd see myself doing it. I feel like I communicate very well. Co-host-wise, I don't know.
It can be, let's do a current player and a past player.
Or somebody you're training with, maybe.
Yeah.
You got here. Is there anybody here who'd be real dynamic with you here that you're training with?
I had to say Jay Adams.
There you go.
Jay Adams and Jamar Chase.
Oh, Jamar. There you go. Yeah.
See, Jamar. People think Jamar quiet. Jamar ain't quiet.
Who is your ideal interview? Like, for us, we got T.O.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up the biggest T.O. fan. So did he.
I still have a T.O. jersey.
That was for us, like, our biggest get on this show. And we've interviewed a lot of people.
Yeah.
But T.O. was huge for us because I had so many questions. Who's your one person that you would absolutely have to book on your podcast?
In today's NFL right now?
Just, it could be
anybody. Football or otherwise.
Oh, that's a good one. I had to go with my former teammate, Jonathan Abram.
Oh, there you go. John is I remember I interviewed Jonathan over at MJP 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was the funniest thing. I remember
exactly.
I was talking to everybody you ask about, like, you know, hey, what do you think about the Dallas area? Because they're here training. It's like, what do you think about it? And they're like, oh, it'd be great to play for the Cowboys. When I asked him what do you think about playing for the Cowboys, he's like, well, I really like the schools out here. You know, I got a kid, and so, like, you know, it'd be a good place to raise it. Like, he didn't have anything to say about football. It was all about, like, oh yeah, you know, the school systems are good over here, and there's a lot of parks.
He's approaching it like a job, like he's going to sign with Amazon. Great school district for the kids.
I remember Dane Brugler from the Athletic said that teammate, and you may be able to speak to this, he said teammates used to kind of joke with him that he was the grandpa on the team. Yeah. That he acted like he was 40 years old almost.
John, a great teammate, you know, an energy guy for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, an enforcer. That's
yeah,
a guy
for
who,
sure, for sure.
That's a guy who's got some attitude. Now, when you look at, in terms of, like, are you a Madden guy? You play?
Yeah.
All right, so next year you'll be in the game. If somebody happened to grab the team that you play on before you could get to it, and you've got this crease where he's about to go for 80 yards, are you tackling yourself, or are you going to let yourself get some shine?
I'm going to let myself get the shine.
You're just going to score. Yeah.
I don't care what my overall is. I'm putting myself in the game as the starter, point blank, period.
Just go stack it. You're going to go for the 7 touchdowns. Yes. You're going to pass Alvin.
Eight.
And where's the tat over there? The 8.
I got it right here.
See, yeah, he's got the 8.
Right.
Yeah,
I love
there
that.
We go. That's perfect. Now, when it comes to would you rather, this is one of the things that I always like to ask people, would you rather live without music for the rest of your life or TV, movies, streaming service type things?
TV, movies.
You'd rather keep the music?
Yeah.
What's like the big pregame hype
TV.
Song?
I don't know. I listen
who's the pregame hype artist? Not a particular song. Who's like, what's an artist we're definitely going to hear
in like
your playlist?
Chicago rappers, so I got to go a little Dirt.
Oh, okay. All right. Not like old school Chicago. Not
I
like,
thought he was going to say literally Chicago, and I was like, oh, my gosh,
yeah.
He's an 80s savant.
Yeah.
I've now become your biggest advocate.
She thought you were
I'm
gonna,
still going to be one of your big advocates.
Thank
but
you, thank you.
She was expecting Peter Cetera.
I was
like,
so excited. I was like, what?
Like vibe in Chicago.
Have you watched the YouTube channel where it's the young guys that listen to the 80s music and the throwbacks,
yeah,
and they're like,
it's like teenagers.
They've never heard it before, and like, oh man, yeah. Or it's like Phil Collins, like in the air, and that thing, man, that hits.
Yeah, that's
it's one of my favorite YouTube channels
on the podcast.
Yeah,
Kylan, you can do that. Like Kylan reacts to 70s music.
Oh, that is, that's a good.
We can see where you'd fall down on that. Now, because you are, we've talked about such a outspoken guy and somebody who cares a lot about how things go off the field. How would you like people to remember you outside of the game of football?
Just a guy who didn't back down for anything, you know, a guy that spoke his mind, you know, a guy that's truthful about a lot of things. Some people may not like it, but that's how I approach the game. Very hard-working guy.
Do you think it's important, then, that you go to a locker room that lets you be you? In other words, I cover a lot of teams where the coaches themselves say, we just want our guys to be our guys. And then there's other locker rooms where sort of toe the line. I feel like I've got an idea of it, but what would be most natural for you? I mean, I get it. Look, wherever you get the call is where you ball, but.
A locker room with a lot of fun guys in there, it'll be amazing. But then again, I know that it's a business also. So if you want to go in the locker room with it all serious and everything, I'm going to do my job. That's my job also.
I see him in New Orleans. I feel like he's got a whole New Orleans vibe.
He'd be perfect there. Yeah. Kylan Hill, you can follow him on Twitter and look for that podcast where he reacts to Peter Cetera, Chicago, Queen, all the 70s music.
You're going to love the way he hits those power ballads, Kylan.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
He's great. He's smooth. Yeah. You can follow Kylan on Twitter at @H_Kylan.
Yes.
Kylan, we appreciate you, man.
No problem, man. Thank y'all.
All right, so like I said, I love getting to know these guys. I hope you learned as much as we learned from them, and we'll continue to learn about them in the coming weeks. We're trying to get ahead of this before we start seeing the news articles come out and more teams start talking about their interests. We're sort of getting to know them in the early stages, which is what I love.
I love
this part.
It's good.
There's still enthusiasm from them. They haven't been over-interviewed yet.
They're excited. It's like last year when we saw Dez Bryant working out. You saw the draft picks, like, just, you know, going gaga watching. You see that with, like, a Gerald McCoy being up here or somebody else. You see them just kind of, like, staring and, oh, my goodness, look, it's Gerald McCoy. So, yeah, no ego yet. Next episode, we've got some good interviews for you. We're going to be talking with Peyton Turner from Houston.
Love him.
Who has the wingspan of a car with its doors open. And then we'll also be talking to William Bradley King, or BK, the Baylor defensive end, and then our friend Brandon Tucker from Trench Warfare Training, about all these guys, and then also about some of the Cowboys players that he's been training, where Tristan Hill's at with his recovery, you know, how Neville Gallimore's progressing. So lots of good information on that next episode.
It's like, man, that dude's cool. I need to learn something.